you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a familiar one for many of you. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. And some of you may say, why does he give the year? I mean, it's already June. We know it's 2022. Well, this program does get archived at greatnewsradio.org. and also at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends link. And so as a historical record, we always give the full date. So that's why I give the year, even though at this point in the year, you probably know it's 2022. Well, on this special Testimony Tuesday, it's the first time I've had four guests in the studio at our Marketplace Mall Champaign location. I can't wait to introduce these new friends. I'm just getting to know them. Thanks for coming out on this Testimony Tuesday. I have the Ho Osage family in the studio with me, and I'll formally introduce them in just a minute. And we have an author among us. This is her debut novel. She's written some poetry in the past, but this is a novel that we're going to talk about, and we're going to have her read an excerpt or two from it. And let me highlight a few things before I introduce our special guest. If you were tuned in yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, we continued with our reading from the book Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. I just love this book. We've been reading it for months on Mondays, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends link. But I was in Springfield, and I had Jane Runkel and Sue Bishop. They were the special guests. I dragged them into the studio. They were very reluctant about being on the air, but I coaxed them in. And wasn't a great, it was like a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, but I got them to share some of their faith journey, and we learned about the importance of prayer. It was another one of those great topics in chapter 3. Last week it was Try Tears. Yesterday it was Influential Intercession Persists Until It Receives, encouraging us to passionately pursue God because he's almighty, he's sovereign, he can answer prayer, he's the one we go to. And it was a great reminder to passionately seek after him with our requests and intercede on behalf of others. Well, this family has been interceding on behalf of each other. They've been praying up their daughter, who's a very gifted author. Her first book on poetry was when she was 11, and I'm going to read a portion in the back of her book about the author as a way of introduction, and then we're going to have her parents also included in this Testimony Tuesday to share a little bit of their journey coming from Nigeria to the States and how they're being used of God locally. Ona being a family physician, works at Christie Clinic in Mahomet. And then Emeka, kind of an entrepreneurial type, works on cars, works with properties, rentals, a handyman, all-purpose kind of guy. We'll have them share a little of their adventures being here in the United States. But let me talk about our author and our special primary guest on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. So this is about the author, Ada. Ada Asaja is a 13-year-old author born and raised in Illinois. Woohoo! Shout out for Illinois. She published her first book, Ada's Collection of Poems, at age 11. The Canis Lupus Caller started as a story about a thief on July 15, 2020 at 7:26 p.m. On March 3, 2021 at 7:20 p.m., the first draft was complete. Then began the seemingly endless work of editing cover designs and even more editing. The book was finished 7 months later. She had as much of an adventure as Aaron did, bringing the story to life. When she's not typing a new idea for a book or researching dogs on the computer, which, by the way, I brought Beamer into the studio to put you at ease and to feel right at home. Beamer, my golden retriever, is right here laying at our feet. She is reading a novel or making short films on her mom's phone. She now has a five-month-old puppy named Bo. So thank you for being available for Testimony Tuesday. So we're going to start with you. I gave a little intro about your book, but maybe read from the back cover and talk a little about your folks. I know your dad was an inspiration of encouragement and storytelling and keeping you focused on the book, and your mom was helping with editing and assisting in various ways, and I'm going to have them come back to share some of their faith journey and life story. And I know you're working on a special thing that we'll maybe get to talk about at the end of the program, but we want to give you a little chance to read some excerpts from your book and read the back cover to begin with.
Okay, yeah. So, growing up on the streets of Cordelia, Aaron has been a thief his entire life. He has had no home, parents, or money. He had no talents, unless you count stealing from merchants and running from soldiers. When Aaron decides to leave that life behind and try his luck on the other side of the ocean, it sets off a chain of events that nobody could have predicted. It turns out that he does have something special, but he has no idea what it means. In search of someone who can help him, Aaron takes a risky trek across Aurelia, encounters enemies, and gains unlikely friends, oblivious to the fact that someone is watching him very closely.
Well, I should say something about this book. So some months back, Cherie Eubanks from Farmer City, a friend of the radio ministry, in fact, she helps out with the Prime Lifetimes publication and has attended many various events with the ministry and was a part of our theater troupe, but she put the book in my hand and said, "You gotta read this. This is by a 13-year-old friend of mine, and she's very gifted. Maybe you were 12 at the time. I can't remember, but she says, you gotta read this, Mark, and I think you're gonna wanna have her in the studio for a follow-up testimony." And so I brought it home. It was next to my bedstand. I have like four other books that I was reading at the time. Next thing I know, I'm like, "Where's that book?" My daughter Esther, who knows you from Judah Christian, had grabbed it and she was reading it away and she says, "I'm not giving it back till I'm finished. I'm fascinated by it." So she really enjoyed your book, your storytelling and the colorful language, and kind of created this whole new setting, this island, this area where you take our characters through. So tell us a little about the inspiration behind this book and why you decided to write it.
Okay, so it was the summer after COVID kind of hit. Mm-hmm. It was around like May. And me and my brother, we were sitting in our dad's office. We didn't really have anything to do. And I was basically trying to find ideas to write about. And I wanted to do like a little booklet type thing where I had four characters and I made chapters off of each of their perspectives. So I sat down and I started writing about a boy who was an orphan and he had no parents and he was just running from people because they were chasing him because he stole something. And it didn't have a direction at first. Mm-hmm. It was just there, sitting there. And then I came back to it after we talked to my editor. And then it became the Canis Lupus collar. Yeah.
Now, was this during the time when you really wanted to have a dog because some of your friends had gotten dogs and you were starting to read about dogs and you were thinking, maybe I can write about dogs?
Yeah. So one of my friends, all three of us, I have like two really close friends of mine that I grew up with. One of them got a dog, and us other two, we really wanted dogs, and we were like always drawing them, and I was always reading about them, and every time I saw a dog on the sidewalk, I would freak out. Mm-hmm. So then they both ended up getting dogs, and I still didn't have one, and then I kind of just like full on just went onto the internet and started searching dogs, ways to get my parents to get me a dog, yeah. How to convince my parents that I'm responsible enough to get a dog. It was all dogs for a really long time. And yeah.
And now you have...
Now I have a dog, yeah.
Now you have a dog. And I think you had gone through a phase of liking horses or ponies or something. But
yes.
Dogs was what you really wanted to have. And you wrote about it. And that was part of the catalyst of some of this book. And you mention and you cite in your acknowledgments that your dad was inspirational and encouraging you with storytelling. And your mom helped with some editing. That was a big process. So what do you want to say about your two folks here?
Yeah, so my mom, she did so much editing. Like, it was unbelievable the amount of editing she did for this book. Like, I did editing, and my editor obviously did editing, but she did, like, she kind of carried the load. And my dad, I had like a little bit of writer's block halfway through the book, and I was trying to figure out what to do next. Like, where's this book gonna go? How do I end it? What is gonna keep the reader reading? And my dad came up with some funny ideas, and we kind of like laughed about it. And then it developed more ideas for the book.
And so they were kind of walking along with you and helping. Now your mom, she's a family physician in the Muhammad area. So what did you think about your daughter coming up with this book? Because I know she had already written something on poetry, but what did you think? Wow, I have an author among us.
Well, it's exciting for sure. She used to have a book idea every day. Mm-hmm. So I'd come home from work, and as soon as I got in, she'd say, "Mom, I have a book idea. Come and read this book that I've written." And she had about 50 different book ideas mm-hmm. she was working on at the same time.
Yeah.
And so finally I thought, okay, I need help. We hired a coach to help her stay on track with one story so she could be accountable and kind of get the book to the end. Mm-hmm. So she did a fantastic job. It had some challenges where she had to stay on track. She couldn't just move on to the next book idea, which is what she really loved.
Sure.
Is the next book idea. So it was good to see that accountability grow, that responsibility grow, and to finish the work. So that was really exciting to see the maturity that came with that.
Now, as a proud father,
oh, yeah.
you're seeing your daughter and your son excelling and growing and developing. So take us back a little bit on your journey. So you're in Nigeria. How did you end up here in Illinois or in the States?
Well, it's going to be, we're going to take the whole day talking about
That's why I'm going to probably have to have you back.
About that. But to cut the long story short, the Lord was involved bringing me here, and he has blessed us mm-hmm. abundantly. We are just so blessed to be even in the studio with you right now, and it's only God that can do that. Yeah.
What was kind of special, we always pray up the program, and for our listeners that aren't here in the studio, we always ask God to use what's said and shared and so forth. And it was interesting, and I really appreciated this. You were alerted to the fact that Mike Haroon, Harvest Moon Drive-In, now he's retired, and his sons are running the drive-in in Gibson City, but on Monday he was having triple bypass, and so I talked to him briefly, and he just called me to ask for prayer, and I said, "Oh, certainly, Mike, I'll pray on Sunday night, and I'll pray also a Monday morning early." And so when I was telling you about this, you said, "Let's pray for him right now." And I really appreciated that. And so we stopped everything. We prayed for Mike Haroon. I haven't gotten an update on how he's doing or how the surgery went yesterday, but it was pretty major surgery. He had, I think, 6 or 7 arteries blocked, and he needed a triple bypass. And so we're praying for the best. But you stopped right away and said, "Let's just pray right now." And I appreciated that. And it seemed like with Joshua. Oh, Joshua, we got to get you involved. Step up to the microphone. So how old are you, Joshua?
I'm 12.
12 years old. So you're in 7th grade. You attend Judah Christian.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen you over there yet, but I'm sure at some point we'll cross paths. And what's your favorite subject in school?
Math.
When you're in school, you're off now, but it's math?
Mm-hmm.
And you have your future laid out yet? Do you know what you want to be when you get older?
Either a chemical engineer or a normal engineer.
Wow. Usually,
engineer.
There's usually people that are like 15, 17, 19, have no clue. So that's really good that you already are thinking towards that. And that may change some, but way to go. Congratulations. And I know Joshua was a little reluctant. He said, "Do I have to be on?" Well, there, now you can sit back and relax. So appreciate having all four of you a part of today, Testimony Tuesday. And I like, Ada, how under acknowledgments in the first sentence you put, "First and foremost, to God be all the glory and praise. I definitely couldn't have written this without him." On this Testimony Tuesday, share a little bit about your own little faith journey. You're 14 now, so you haven't had many, many years of walking with the Lord. But when did you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And talk a little about, you know, what it means to follow him at this young age.
Okay, so yeah, like you said, I'm 14, so I don't have like a super long, super exciting adventure story, but it started when I was really little. I don't know how old I was, but I'm pretty sure I came to my mom and I was like, I want Jesus in my heart. Mm. And so we sat down and we prayed and we talked about it, and then it kind of happened like that.
Sure.
So then, yeah, I've kind of like grown up in church, and so I've like heard all the Bible stories and all of that. And yeah.
Was there a defining talk, or was there like a youth group where somebody said, we have this holy God and there's sin separating us? Did the light bulb go on where you said, wow, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus? Or is some of that still new information as you're growing and learning? When did you see Jesus as Lord and Savior?
You know, I can't really like put my finger on it. It's happened mm-hmm. like a couple of times. Sometimes it's like a movie or, oh, yes, okay, I remember. So I don't know how long ago it was, but we went to see this movie, Sabina, in the movie theater. And it's basically about Sabina Wombrand and her husband, Richard. And they basically became like, not missionaries, but Sabina's husband was a pastor. And this was during like the Holocaust mm. time. And so it's kind of dangerous, and there are people killing other people, and it's just like a big mess. And they kept like pushing through it. And near the end, they find one of the soldiers that may have killed one of her relatives mm-hmm. or a whole bunch of them. And she forgave them, and she forgave like all the other people who were like hurting her people and her family. And that was like, it was really amazing to see that.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And that probably tenderized your heart to mm-hmm. see that forgiveness, and
yeah.
then recognize Jesus offers that for all of us that call on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing. I want to close out our program with at least a reading or two from your book, Canis Lupus Caller. And this is by Ada Osaji. So pick out a portion or an excerpt. And how can our listeners get a hold of this book?
So if you search it, it pops up. It's on Amazon. It's also on barnesandnoble.com. And I'm pretty sure it's on the Walmart website as well.
And it's titled The Canis Lupus Caller, CanisLupusCaller.
So this is chapter one. Aaron ran. He liked to run. It was fun when it wasn't life-threatening. This time, it wasn't fun. It was terrifying. The corner ahead was racing up to meet him with each stride he took, and it was sharp. He was going to have to take a blind turn, or he'd lose too much time. He could hear his pursuers yelling, and they felt very close. They would be on him in just a few seconds, he could tell. Aaron arched his turn to maintain as much momentum as possible and dashed around the wall. Of course, there was someone there. There was always someone there. A family, in fact, crossing the road together to the other side of the marketplace. As Aaron's body slammed into them, he knocked the bread and meat they had just bought from their hands. "Whoops, sorry," he said breathlessly, hurriedly picking up the food and giving it back to them without stopping to dust off the dirt. Then he started off again, the family's angry voices ringing in his ears.
And then did you have another one?
Yeah.
And maybe explain who Aaron is for somebody unfamiliar with the book.
Yeah, so Aaron is this orphan. His parents died in a war. As far as he knows, his parents died in a war. He's hoping his mother is still alive, but he knows his father's gone. And he's basically making a living stealing and running. And this is just what he does every single day. He doesn't have a place to stay. And so then he finds out he has a special talent.
Mm-hmm.
And things like take a wild turn.
And then you have another section to close out our program.
Okay. This is chapter 15 on page 120. It's near the end of the book, so it might not make too much sense, but it's an adventure scene. And yeah, so Aaron heard a cry. He thought he saw someone topple from the end of the bridge into the river. There seemed to be at least a dozen people with red masks in long black hooded robes crouched down at the entrance of the cave. Some were looking down into the river. Each of them held arrows that were nocked as they stared through the mist at the forest ahead. Another arrow flew overhead from the forest toward the bridge. Aaron looked at its feathers as it whizzed by. They weren't black, red, and white like the other ones being shot in his direction. They were blue. Whoever was in the forest wasn't one of the guardians. He was against them. For a few heartbeats, everyone stopped, watching, waiting. Then the ice bridge lurched as if to fall.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Author is among us here in the studio. Her book is The Canis Lupus Caller by Ada Osaji. And we appreciate the whole family being in. And we'll have to have you back some other time to talk a little about some of the projects God's put on your heart and some of your own testimony and faith journey coming from Nigeria here to Central Illinois and being a part of the Champaign-Urbana community. And thank you for pouring into your daughter. She's very gifted, and this is her first debut book, though she's written also on poetry and has many other stories that are going on in her head, probably future publications that'll come down the line. And appreciate you sharing some of your faith journey. And at 14, to be off to such a good start, hang in there and keep fighting the good fight. And I appreciated we opened up the program with Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's God's promise for all of you who follow Jesus, who ask him into your life, who desire to follow and mirror him into this hurting world. He will work amazing things through you. He'll give you all the strength you need. Just call on him. And as it says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.